That's Grammy Award-winning Black Coffee 919 with Garden of Eden. And time now for our featured guest of the week on the Stateside Connection. She is based in South Africa, but her book is certainly making waves in Texas here. Maybe on a smaller scale for now, I'm sure throughout the USA, but because I came across it a little while back, and literally every single person I know that's in some kind of book club here on my part of Texas, I've said, this is the book that your group needs to read this week. I've also stocked up on a few copies just because it is so truly inspiring. And if I have someone come across my radar who I think, oh, they could really do with reading this book, it gets passed along to them. Kim Ballantyne is our guest on the show. She is a motivational speaker, as well as a life and business coach, and the author of a book called Hot Tea and Apricots. And this book is one of the top 20 reads of the month for the month of August for exclusive books. And there's very good reason why. If you want to know about hope, courage, determination, we're going to check out part one of my interview with Kim right now. She lost her voice. You will hear why, you will hear how. And not only that, a few years later, she had a breast cancer diagnosis, and her book details the 12-year journey through her struggle with all these challenges and onto a full recovery where she is speaking at events now. It's a remarkable story, and I do hope you enjoy hearing from Kim.
From Dallas to Joburg, it's Cooler on 919.
Joining us on 919 this afternoon is Kim Ballantyne, who's a motivational speaker, a life and business coach, and the author of Hot Tea and Apricots as well. And I must preface this with saying that in the last 6 years, I've not had much time to read any books. And I heard about Hot Tea and Apricots. I do know Kim Ballantyne personally. And when I knew that she brought out this book, I thought, I have to read it. And it was so gripping, I could not put it down. I think I finished the book in 2 days solid after not reading a book for 6 years, which was quite a feat, but it speaks a lot to how incredible this book is. And it's one that I have recommended to circles of friends within Texas, people who have had friends or relatives diagnosed with cancer who've been looking for ways to assist them. I've said, you've got to send them this book to all the different book clubs that I'm aware of. I'm like, you've got to read this book. So I know it's making its way through Texas. It's making waves in South Africa as well. And Kim, it's fantastic to have you here on the show with us.
Thank you, Kula. It's just lovely to be with you and with your listeners.
Great. Well, the absolute miracle of you joining us on the show is that at one stage in your life, you were told you would never talk again. And there was a 12-year recovery process, which you discuss in your book, your journey from voice loss and then a cancer diagnosis through to full recovery. But take us back to the start of that. You were working as an industrial psychologist to some of the top manufacturing businesses in South Africa on international best practice. So you had your career, you're married, so you're a wife, you're a mom of three young children, and then everything changed on your 40th birthday. What happened on that day, Kim?
Yes, turning 40 didn't turn out to be the best idea, but my husband was working at Barrow Gwynedd Hospital. He was specializing, and we just didn't see him much, and asked me what I wanted for my birthday, and I said to him, what every wife wants, I just wanted time with him. So he brought me breakfast in bed, wearing that chef's apron and pretty much nothing else. And it's the last time he's ever done that. We're not allowed to bring breakfast in bed in chef's aprons in my house anymore. But by that afternoon, I started coughing and retching. I actually passed out. And within a period of about a week, I really struggled to control. I just coughed and coughed and coughed and retched, and then struggled to control words and sound. And by that April, we were in the professor's office, and he looked at my vocal cords and said to me, I had a chronic condition, which was spasmodic dysphonia. And I didn't understand what chronic was. You know, when we got into the lift, I was kind of mouthing to Rob, chronic, how long is chronic? And he just said to me, Kimmy, chronic is forever. You've basically been told you are not going to speak normally again. And the treatment was Botox into the vocal cords to paralyze him so that at least I could breathe. But that was the diagnosis at the age of 40, and my world imploded.
It's crazy. Well, I don't want to give away too much about what's discussed in the book, because the book is absolutely worth reading, and that's the point of having you on the show. But at that stage, you had three young children. You had to learn how to communicate with your family, with the rest of the world, after having a fully functioning voice before. Just tell us about some, there were extraordinary challenges with learning sign language. For those few years of learning how to communicate with the rest of the world, just share a little bit about that with us.
Well, the loss was enormous. I realized so much of my identity, Kula, and what I did was around voice. I was in consulting. I did public speaking. So everything I did, it's like you as a radio personality, suddenly you can't speak. How on earth do you function? And my children were small. Natalie was about 9.5. The twins 7.5. So the twins couldn't really read at that stage. And we had to find a way of communicating. So ended up with a sign language teacher who came once or twice a week and was absolutely wonderful. And the first signs my children ever learned was the sign for mom, which is that flat hand across your boobs, because what did moms have that dads don't have? And then the next was I love you. And they just reached into my silent world. So I think, the other thing was being in public was difficult because after Botox, I really couldn't control my whole vocal complex at all. It paralyzed my vocal cords. So you can't control liquid. You can't control, eating is very difficult. Everything had to be pureed. And so the ease of social interactions was very difficult. People can't understand you. They look at your eyes, not your mouth. They don't understand sign. And so, my children lost the mom they knew. My husband lost the wife that he'd fallen in love with. And I guess I was trapped in a world of silence, desperately trying to remain integrated into a world that really is around speech and sound.
And you touched briefly in the book as well, just about society's interactions with you. I know you'd mentioned everyone looks at your eyes and not at your mouth, but just some of the stigma involved in that and people treating you in a negative way because you couldn't communicate with them too.
Absolutely. So I think you have those that just love harder and that really push in, and they're amazing, and I just encourage people to be that kind of friend. But you also get those that don't. People don't understand disability. They don't know what to do with disability. They're very awkward around it. And so in my case, with signing, not being able to speak, people obviously assume that you're deaf. But with any disability, people also feel that you're cognitively impaired. So we had all sorts of incidents, from being chased out of shops, refused service, and people mouthing very loudly or switching off their own voices and mouthing words at you or shouting at you. It's extraordinary the way people respond. And I think for us, really having to choose to have a sense of humor and to extend grace, because if you don't, you're just never going to go out.
Absolutely. Well, then, Kim, on top of trying to find all sorts of solutions to ease the choking, you were diagnosed with cancer a few years later, which must have seemed like an even more enormous blow.
Absolutely. Eventually the Botox didn't work. I had spacer plates and a tracheostomy, so I had this ugly hole at the base of my throat that gave me this beautiful airway. And we'd reached this sort of new normal where we were understanding one another, we were sign language fluent, and I had a predictive airway. And then I discovered a breast lump and was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I my mom had had breast cancer. I just never thought it was going to happen to me. But I can honestly say early detection saves lives, and I've been going for my mammograms. And so I was familiar with doing breast examinations, and I just praise God for that, because I picked up this lump really early. And so that's just one message people have to hear, is that go for your examinations, be familiar with your own body, because early detection really does save lives, Kula.
Remarkable. Well, yeah, I agree with you there. Kim, what kept you going through all of this? You touch on your faith, and I know because I've read the book. I know the answer. But to share with our listeners who have not had a chance to read Hot Tea and Apricots yet, what is it that kept you going when you no longer had a voice and then a breast cancer diagnosis on top of that and going through chemo? What kept you focused minute to minute and hour to hour?
I think, Kula, just firstly, a huge determination to see my children grow up and to be there as a mom for them. Mm-hmm. I didn't relish the idea of another blonde mom taking my place. So let's be honest, it was, you know, it was
a huge
determination.
Force.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the book will tell you about some of the signs. Some of the discussion between my husband and I on that. But the other was just, I have a huge faith that in my God, that he is bigger than all of this. You know, and when they told me I wouldn't speak again, I just wrote on that piece of paper, you don't know how big our God is and how determined I am. And so I really have, as a family, we come from a Christian family. So we have a strong faith in our God and just believing that he is bigger than all of this and that he will see you through. So people don't always have the outcomes that we've had. And so I think for us getting to that place of regardless of outcomes, just trusting our God that he will walk this journey with us.
Well, that's part one of my interview with author, motivational speaker, and life and business coach, Kim Ballantyne. We'll hear part two in the next hour of the show on 919. And if you have been inspired already, I highly recommend going out and getting her book, Hot Tea and Apricots. As I mentioned earlier on, it's on one of the top 20 reads for the month of August at Exclusive Books. I had not had the opportunity to read in about 6 years with the craziness of kids and late nights and everything that goes with it. And when I heard about Kim's book, I thought, I need to get my hands on this book. And I read it in 2 nights flat. I mean, I only started reading once the kids went to bed. I could not put it down. It was so gripping. We'll find out a little bit more about Kim's approach to writing that book, as well as a new book that she's working on in the next hour. And some more about her motivational talks as well, and how you could possibly book her for your next event. Getting back to the music now on 919 with some Goldfish. This one's Hold Your Kite.